Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and earlier this month, as you all know by now, Eric Garner died on Staten Island after a police officer put him in a headlock or chokehold while trying to arrest him. The whole incident was captured on camera, and it was the video, after it was put online, that really made Eric Garner's death a public issue. My next guest also has experience videotaping police encounters and once got arrested for it. So now she has filed a federal lawsuit to confirm the rights of citizens to record police officers in public spaces. Her name is Deborah Goodman, and she's here now with her attorney, civil rights lawyer Norman Siegel. Deborah Goodman, welcome, and Norman Siegel, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Always a pleasure, Brian.
Deborah, first of all, will you tell us what happened to you in September of last year?
Sure. I was walking home from the subway one evening, and I crossed the street at Broadway and West 73rd, and I noticed there were EMS personnel that were interacting with a woman in a wheelchair who appeared to be homeless. And I kept walking. I noticed that police officers were a distance up the block from them. And so I was about approximately 30 feet away from the woman in the wheelchair and the EMS personnel and about 10 feet away from the NYPD officers, not interfering with anything going on. And I started attempting to record the events. And as soon as I started, a police officer approached me, and he held up his camera and appeared to be recording me. So I told him that he had no right to record me, but I had a right to record him.
Huh. Why would you stop him from recording you if you were recording him?
Because the law about that, as I understood it, or understand it, is that because he's a public servant performing his duty, he actually gives up certain rights.
He's the state.
You know, yes,
well,
exactly.
Also, as long as Deborah's not doing anything, breaking the law or about to break the law, threatening to break the law, they have no right to record people in the public.
So what happened then?
So we had a verbal exchange, and then an officer demanded to see my identification. And I stated that I had done nothing wrong. So he grabbed my arms, cuffed me with my hands behind my back, and told me I was under arrest. And then he threw me in the back of a police van. And that was the beginning of my approximately 25 hours of being detained.
Were you charged?
Yes. I was charged with four charges. One was obstructing governmental administration, disorderly conduct, harassment in the second degree, and resisting arrest. And all the charges were dismissed in May.
Did any of those...
It took us five times to go to criminal court, Brian.
What was that like? Norman, what was that like?
Well, every time we went, they would just postpone it, and they were offering her an ACD, but she didn't do anything wrong, and Deborah, to her credit, said, I want it dismissed. So finally, on May 27th, the case was dismissed.
Were any of those charges directly related to her right to record the police at work, Norman?
Well, yeah, the essence of it is that, you know, the fact that she was obstructing government administration, disorderly conduct, the obstruction of government administration.
But that charge, obstruction of government administration, that had to do with just the recording of government administration, not something that happened between her and the officer afterwards?
Right. If you're obstructing government administration, you're allegedly interfering with them doing the job. And so part of the argument here is that police officers will allege, if it ever went to trial here, I would suspect that they would have argued that by her recording what they were doing or attempting to record in the situation, that that was interfering with their job. They've done, not just necessarily in New York City, but in other places around the country, that's part of the argument. And, of course, we don't think that has any validity, assuming you're not interfering in any way with what they're doing.
And
they just don't like you recording them.
So, Norman, what is the law? Is there any law on the books in New York City or at some other level of government that prohibits an individual private citizen from recording a police officer in the act of doing his or her duty?
The answer is yes. In 1977, the New York Civil Liberties Union brought a case called Black versus Codd, and the resolution of that was a settlement where the NYPD agreed that it was the policy henceforth not to arrest people, no probable cause for onlookers to photograph police officers as long as you're not interfering and not causing them danger. The problem here is that in certain cities around the country, in certain federal courts, there is now a First Amendment right, and we decided that we don't want to rely on a policy because the policy can change anytime at a whim of the police commissioner or a new mayor. We decided that we in New York City will try, as other cities around the country, to establish a permanent First Amendment right for people to record police officers, providing that they're not interfering with the cop doing the job in the public space.
So that's the affirmative lawsuit that you are not bringing. This is not just about Deborah's defense. You are bringing this as a constitutional lawsuit. You may wind up at the Supreme Court, given the nature of your claim.
Well, if Deborah wants us to go, I've been there before, we'll go again. And I think that even conservative judges would recognize that the police officers should be prevented from retaliating against or otherwise punishing people who are recording police officers performing their official duties, providing that they don't interfere with that police activity. Yeah. And in fact, the lawsuit asks for a permanent injunction against the city of New York to that effect.
There's certainly a libertarian argument there. You might have Rand Paul as an ally on this, somebody like that, with the private citizen versus the state. And here's,
we should get everybody.
212-433-WNYC. Listeners, have any of you listening right now ever recorded or filmed a police officer arresting someone or otherwise having any kind of interaction with a private citizen? What was that experience like? Did any officer try to stop you or try to make you delete your video? Or did anyone, like Deborah Goodman, our guest, get arrested? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you have a story like this, or if you just want to react to our guests, 212-433-9692. Adrian in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. I believe several years ago there was a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and this involved paparazzi. And I don't know who brought the suit, but the result of it was that if you were out in public, you could be photographed, period. I mean, if you're out in public, then you sort of forfeited your right to privacy, which meant, okay, you can be photographed. Is that incorrect, or is that just not relevant here, or what?
Norman, do you know?
I don't know for sure, but my instinct would be that they were talking about a citizen then recording other citizens. It's different when the government official is doing the recording, because that winds up potentially in a database and your privacy rights are, in fact, affected.
Although, you know, one of the details of the settlement of the stop and frisk constitutional lawsuit in New York, as you know, Norman, was to have police in high stop and frisk precincts forced to wear video cameras so that they would be recording all their interactions with the public. So there it was the progressive solution to have the police recording out onto the people they were dealing with. How do you square that?
Well, I think it's a good question. I think it has to perhaps be rethought, and what the purpose there was to try to record so that, take the Eric Gardner situation or the two that have come since Eric Gardner, that we would have videotape for that. And again, I think the distinction is when you're dealing with government. And second, I think that if someone is out there and they're not engaged in any kind of illegal activity, the government should not be recording us.
So, Deborah, is this something you thought about, given your incident and you asking the police officer to stop recording you? The fact that this was imposed by the court as part of the progressive solution to too aggressive stop and frisk, to have police officers wear video cameras. Did you see that in the news and think, no, that's wrong?
No, I think any way that we can, you know, film or encourage police to wear cameras to film their activities will foment accountability. I think it will, you know, I think accountability is good for everybody. So I think the more we can record our public servants doing their duty, I think it's just going to bring out good behavior on everybody's part.
So that's different than the way that cop was trying to record you when you started recording him.
Well, I think if what they're talking about, if the cops are wearing cameras, is that they're going to record their interactions.
In effect, yes, that's correct.
Not in order to surveil me.
Yeah.
Or...
Sean in Crown Heights, police officer. Sean, thank you for calling in.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. I appreciate you speaking up. What do you think?
I think everyone's brought up some very salient points, but one thing that hasn't been discussed is there have been numerous cases of police officers engaged in one-on-one conflicts with people, and rather than putting down the video camera and calling 911 so more assistance can come, people have chosen just to be bystanders and antagonizers and not rendering aid that they could and make the solution end in a more peaceful manner.
Norman, did you say you know this caller?
When he said Sean from Crown Heights, is this Sean Thomas?
No, it's not.
So, okay. So Sean, you're saying, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. If somebody is seeing a police officer be violent with a suspect, then they should call 911 rather than just videotaping?
No, what I'm saying is there's been instances where a police officer has been trying to arrest someone. There's only the police officer and the suspect. And rather than call 911, people have chosen to video record rather than call other police officers to aid that police officer. But what they don't understand is when I have a weapon and someone's assaulting me, I have a little choice once it becomes a more involved physical conflict other than to use deadly force to keep that person from taking my weapon from me.
I see. So you're really unhappy with the fact that the impulse of so many people is to start recording the police officer when there's an encounter, like the suspicion is on the cop, rather
exactly.
than calling for backup, which
exactly.
might result in a more peaceful resolution.
That's exactly my point.
Sean, thank you very much. Norman Siegel, what do you think about that?
Well, it could wind up in a more violent situation, too. When the cops come, it's sort of like they gang up on the person. I think you can do both. I think you can begin to record and potentially call 911 or get more police. But there's lots of instances and video that I've seen where one or two cops are interacting with someone. They're throwing them up against the wall. They're doing violence to him. And then 10, 15 more cops come. It just is a gang on. So I think people should have... 91% of Americans have a cell phone. We should start using them when we see police violating someone's rights. And when we do that, we have evidence finally.
Of course, this is a day to have sympathy for law enforcement. I mean, every day is a day to have sympathy for law enforcement as well as sympathy for innocent people and even suspects in encounters with the police after what happened in Greenwich Village yesterday with the three law enforcement officials shot by a fugitive, right?
Look, we support all the good cops, and the overwhelming percentage of people in the NYPD are good cops, but there are some bad cops, and we shouldn't be supporting bad cops.
Michael in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Photographer, Michael?
I am.
And?
I was at an incident in May of this year where I was, it was like 2 in the morning. I happened to be turning a corner. Heard some commotion, looked over, saw a man being arrested. It was just my instinct. Picked up my camera, took a few pictures of it, about 7 seconds worth of pictures. Turned away, was then assaulted by the police officer from behind. He pushed me, a police officer, and then asked me, am I press? And I said, no, I just happened to see what was happening. I took a picture and removed my camera from me, arrested me. Later I found, I actually never looked at the picture until I was released from jail 25 hours later. After getting my camera back, I noticed that the card was erased. So I used recovery software to get the card back.
Oh.
I get the information back from the card, saw the picture of the sergeant who was using the, chain. It was like a dog tag chain of the person being arrested to choke him. You can clearly see it in the photograph. He erased that picture. I was able to get that picture back. I showed that to the district attorney, and the charges were dropped against me. But if not for that photograph showing that I was not what the police said, was between them trying to break up the arrest, yelling, don't arrest this man, is what they said in the report.
What's the moral of the story for others, do you think?
I think one of the most important things that I did during the arrest was to remain calm. And allow allow time and get to a judge so they can, or get to the district attorney and then explain my story clearly. But I think the most important thing to do was, I'm very fortunate that I was able to recover the photographs. Otherwise, I might have been in the same situation as the lady going repeatedly to court, trying to prove my case against the police. Without the imagery, I would have had a much tougher time.
Michael, thank you very much. And I think to that point, I want to replay the clip of Police Commissioner Bratton talking the other day about what everyone saw on the video of Eric Garner. This is Bratton just saying it.
This would appear to have been a chokehold, but the investigation, both by the district attorney's office as well as by our internal affairs, will seek to make that final determination.
And in a way, Deborah Goodman, that kind of says it all, because really no one would have been able to judge whether the forbidden chokehold was used if not for that citizen video.
Well, I do know that video evidence holds up very well in court.
Let me jump in one other thing, Brian, if I could. Where was the Civilian Complaint Review Board? Where was Police Commissioner Kelly in 5 years from 2009 to 2013, 1,022 complaints of chokeholds? Chokeholds in 1993 were absolutely prohibited by the NYPD. Why didn't someone blow the whistle? Why didn't someone speak out? Why do people ignore this? Did it take the death of Eric Garner to bring this into public focus? There should be a lot of questions in this investigation.
Apparently, this is not just a topic in New York. Deborah in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Deborah.
Oh, hello. A week ago today, U.S. Attorney Paul Fishbein held a press conference here in Newark announcing that the Newark Police Department was going to be placed under federal oversight beginning in mid-September due to a suit that ACLU New Jersey, which is stationed here in Newark, filed in 2010, and the results of statistics showed that 75% of all stop and arrests here in Newark over a six-year period did not cut constitutional muster. 85% of those arrests were people of color, largely African-American, and only 58% of Newark residents are African-American. Now, what ACLU New Jersey did was they created an app and made available free in 2011 for how Newark residents can keep an eye on Newark police by putting this app on their phone to record what police are doing. And that app is still available on Google Play Store for free as of this week.
What does the app do that the normal video function on your phone doesn't?
It gives all the pertinent information, date, place, time, all the kind of information that one would need to nail it down as genuine.
All right. Thank you very much. And we're going to leave it there, as we've been speaking with civil rights lawyer Norman Siegel and his client, retired legal secretary Deborah Goodman, who has filed the lawsuit in federal court that seeks to confirm a bystander's right to record or film police officers in a public place. Deborah and Norman, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Keep up the good work you do.
Thank you, sir. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And up next, we have Maureen O'Connor from New York Magazine on her article this week about ethnic differences in plastic surgery choices and what they say about our sense of race and beauty. Stay with us.